In what turned out to be a perfect day for football, the red team and the black team squared off in Sanford Stadium and ended up tying on the day 20-20. But Georgia fans have a lot to be excited about after this game. As always, I'm Cheeto, and with me is my co-host Keegan. And welcome back to another episode of Dogs Off the Leash. First off, just wow. I think just a very quick off-the-top summary, the University of Georgia has athletes and playmakers all over the field, both sides of the line, or both sides of the field, offense, defense, the trenches, skill players. It is absolutely ridiculous, the show that UGA put on Saturday. And to be honest, from what I've seen from other teams getting ready to do theirs and have finished theirs, this was probably the most game-like atmosphere of any spring practice that I've seen. And that is just a commitment to Kirby's. That is just
a testament
to Kirby's commitment to really make these scrimmages, even up to the spring game, to really get good reps, to grow. We're not just doing it just to do it. And I saw a lot of freak athletes, great plays all over the field. I mean, I've already watched the replay twice, and I've loved it every single time. So a great scrimmage overall. Keegan, what are your initial impressions from G-Day?
Well, bouncing off what you're talking about, I agree it was a great scrimmage. Really went back and forth, down to the wire. Ended in a tie, I guess, because we don't do overtime in scrimmage games for even the most competitive spring football. But that said, I think what makes it so highly competitive and the kind of talent that's busting out of the seams was just overall the preparation. And that, again, goes to a lot of credit to Kirby and what he's been able to do, because, mind you, this is a huge, huge roster turnover. And it wasn't, you know, those are kind of a lot of the questions in the offseason is, like, how can we replace this many guys? You know, yeah, they've been recruiting well. Yeah, you know, they got great coaches. Yeah, this and that. But we're talking about a huge chunk of team, you know, guys coming into the fold. Yeah, they haven't really gotten the, you know, as much playing time yet. So with all that said, it wasn't a close scrimmage because everyone was messing up and it was a cluster, you know what, sloppy game. No, everyone was dialed in, and because it's so competitive, you know, between the sheer amount of talent and what these coaches have invested into these players, the cream is really rising to the top. So it's not really, you know, it's taking care of itself when you set those conditions in your favor. So I just thought that is why it was so competitive. And, man, just got us hyped for the season. It's definitely going to be a good one. Can't wait till you you know, be playing with these dudes online, like with the new roster on NCAA when that comes out in July.
We got a
release date. But just overall early takeaways, I'll just, you know, start this off the top, and you know, you bounce off what I got to say here. But Trevor Etienne definitely looks like the real deal. We talked about it offseason hype. It's even more disappointing that, you know, he got in a little bit of trouble, not going to be in that first game. But what we saw on the field Saturday with, you know, spring game, he was bouncing outside, hitting it fast between the tackles, able to take that shoulder step, really kind of reminded me of DeAndre Swift. That was kind of a real comparison that I kind of saw with him. And, yeah, overall thoughts on that, and what other players did you see on the offensive side of the ball, kind of, you know, get aside?
Yeah.
What you think?
Yeah, and I want to make a note, because there were several standouts, including Etienne, who is definitely on my list of people that shined or made explosive plays or just did what the rumors have kind of been leaking out, like this person's really having a good spring. You got to understand what the bulk of what we saw a lot of starters. Carson Beck and Gunnar Stockton both got a lot of reps, but also the twos and threes. So these are people that are waiting for their turn, you know, or just come in and trying to crack this, you know, the 2-3 depth chart and get on the bus for visiting games or away games, and then, you know, really contribute at home games. But this team looked really good with several starters out. I think that's the part that's like really just got me. These units, and I definitely want to shout out the front seven on the defense and the wide receiver units, were just above and beyond, definitely exceeded my expectations. I just wanted solid play across both of those units, and we got that and then some. But this is with a bunch of starters out, right? You got Malachi in the back end. You got Smile Mondon, one of our definitely an NFL caliber linebacker who's been out like Malachi. And then Branson Robinson, you know, who's still coming back from his injury. We saw a lot from the running back room and several standouts there. Mentioned ETN. This team isn't quite polished yet, but we have the stars, the versatility. We're big, we're fast, and they're learning how to play the game. UGA is going to be scary. You mentioned ETN as a standout player in the offense. I think that's a great, easy place to go. I'm going to continue on the offense before we hop into the defensive players, and I am going to mention easy. Dominic Lovett. Dominic Lovett in his second year looks a lot more comfortable. He looks like he can just be the athlete that he is and the wide receiver that he is and thinking less about it. So he's the one that stuck out to me. They put him on a bunch of different routes through the end of the game catch behind the defender, two hands behind him. That's an ESPN top two play, what he did right there. And it's a game winner, so it should be worth more. They put him all over the field. He made a lot of good catches. Strong catches. I think there was this one seam route where he caught it about the 11 and dragged like two defenders to the 2 yard line, just looking like the guy that had that great year from Missouri. So really
Yeah.
excited about him. And then you think about putting him next to Dylan Bell and Colby Young, who both played well, who both had big
Yeah.
catches. Dylan Bell had a touchdown catch. I don't care if they count that or not. That was 1 foot down. That was a TD. And then Colby Young, he's going to be that 50-50 ball guy. And he showed it in the
Yeah.
end zone when he scored on that catch. Just such a big frame. He just boxed you out like a basketball player, and you're not getting to the ball. So the wide receiver room, they bullied the DBs for the majority of the day, and I was really impressed with what they did there.
So deep in that room. Anthony Evans kind of gave AJ Bolden his welcome to college football moment when Gunnar Stockton threw a nice deep ball. It was his first play out of scrimmage, Gunnar Stockton's. And Anthony Evans kind of caught one. So he's going to be a factor. And true to my predictions, I mean, I think I can be a dummy sometimes, but sometimes these predictions really be hitting, and Zakobi White really
Baller,
popped it off on that one
baller.
touchdown scamper. Man, he's listed as 5'8".
He's
He
bigger than
doesn't
I
look
thought,
it.
dude. I was just about to say
Yeah,
the same thing. He looks like
he might
Dominic,
have grown.
really. Yeah, he looks
Yeah,
kind of like Dominic Lovett, to be honest. Like, good
yeah,
frame.
yeah. And when I kind of just took a deep dive initially on his recruiting film, he's kind of from same area where I grew up. I played a spring football game for his alma mater before I ended up transferring. But that said, dude just reminded me immediately on the tape of like kind of like a smaller Percy Harvin, the way he moved around the field, that is. You know, he's kind of maybe he looks a little bit different, but just the way he had to get up and go. They were using him in all different kind of situations. And he was just speedy. He could like really bend a corner. And so anyway, so we saw a little bit of that, and I'm very excited to see him develop. And who knows, that might be, you know, just the extra guy we need. And that's all we might need is just that little edge when it comes to the depth and what kind of mismatches that creates. Because even though we had a good chunk of these guys last year, I just don't feel like we had the offensive packages when Ladd and Brock were out that, you know, we could really use to affect the game. So anyway, I think having that level of depth, seeing a new face like Zakobi come on the scene, that will also be really good too. And yeah, you're right. Dom Lovett had himself a hell of a game. He had the get up and go. He had several dirty catches. He had one beautiful like over the shoulder. Very impressive. So all things to say, we got a hell of a receiving core, which we knew. We talked all about it. And then, like you said, Colby, 50-50 guy. So things are all the things we kind of talked about and speculated in the podcast, pre-scrimmage, pre-G-Day, they're all kind of coming to fruition. And with that, something we did talk about, since we've kind of mentioned the positive, is how, on the downside, but these guys are going to get opportunities elsewhere, is how a lot of these players will be what we would kind of consider bubble players. And one that we spoke about directly was that of Andrew Paul, because he's supposed to be really talented. He had a hell of a tape. You've been high on him, with your Todd Gurley comparisons. I've been high on him ever since I've watched that tape. He had an injury. Sometimes when you have an injury and you're getting all these new players, coaches have to, load the roster up with the talented dudes they want. But sometimes you kind of like fold to the back for whatever reason, priority wise or rep wise or what have you. So he was kind of a bubble guy. Now he's obviously, now we know he's in the portal. So, and he had a hell of a spring game too. If
He had a great
anything,
game.
if anything, G-Day was really like a showcase for other teams to look at. So, that's something to kind of keep in mind, at least for now, the way the spring portal that is kind of positioned right after all these spring games. A lot of people are trying out to play for their team that they're already at, and a lot of these guys are really going to be trying out for other teams, essentially, with what they can do, kind of in their respective scrimmages. So that's kind of an interesting development, and we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, Andrew Paul on the move, probably, unless I guess we'll if we can get some retention. But kind of on the defensive side, what did you see? How are we looking? I
Well,
know.
let me touch on Aaron or
Oh,
Andrew Paul real
yeah.
quick, because
Yes,
the
sir. Yes,
portal
sir.
is now open, being that is the
Yeah.
16th. We're gonna have some attrition. That is kind of the way it is for Georgia now. You have
Right.
coaches that are gonna pay attention to even our spring games and even our practices leading up to it, looking for talent that's buried in the depth chart that can contribute to their teams, because we have so many players that would be starters, if not mid-season starters for most teams across the country. It is what it is. So for Andrew Paul, who flashed and, like you mentioned, come back from injury, he's going to be a great running back, whether it's here or elsewhere. But you have to consider that Roderick Robinson's really breaking through. We just brought in ETN. Branson's coming back from injury soon. Chauncey Bowens is already on campus. And Dwight Phillips and Nate Frazier are on their way. And these guys are not
Yeah.
slouches. So
No.
while I love Andrew Paul's game, I do understand. I hope he ends up staying, because now he can't transfer. He can't transfer to the SEC during this window. So it would have to be, a different program with that outside of the conference. So maybe that sways him. But you got to understand, these kids are looking for a lot of times money, but their future, their way to the NFL or whatever have you. So if he does leave, I wish him the best. If not,
I
I
hear
wish him good luck.
Syracuse.
It could
Syracuse.
be, or it could be Georgia
You know what I'm
State.
saying?
It could be Georgia
Yeah.
State. So, like,
Know what
where
I'm
he has
saying?
relationships, he would be the starter at both programs. He's going to be that good. So, no doubt
Damn.
about that.
That's,
But shifting
well,
to
good for him. Yeah, that's a good look.
the defense, like you were about to go with, I thought the defense, again, exceeded my expectations, especially the front seven. And this is going to go way past the starters. I'm talking about incoming freshmen, two deep, three deep, killers everywhere. I definitely am going to start with the highlight of Mikael Williams and CJ Allen. But before I forget to go down this list, I mean, plays that I saw being made, freak athletes being in the right place at the right time, length and speed. Jake Pope, the transfer from Alabama, he was everywhere. Every receiver that ran near him was covered, whether they caught the ball or not. He was a great run fitter. He did not miss out on opportunities. There was a pass to Dominic Lovett that was that Carson Beck, I mean, dropped it in the bucket. I want to say Jake Paul was maybe over the top. Maybe I'm thinking of Jonel Aguero on that play. But Jake was just,
Yeah.
he was everywhere. I was impressed with him. The way Dan Jackson is everywhere he needs to be, and he'll play a lot of minutes at safety because of that. Jake Pope showed me the exact same qualities there. I can't really tell right now who's maybe the more athletic upside, but we have quality depth at the safety position. So shout out Jake Pope. He was all over the field. Gabe Harris was beating people from his end position, edge position, off pure hustle. Pure hustle. There was just some plays he was just not going to get blocked. And the same could be said for the South Carolina transfer and Xavier McLeod. He was just terrorizing the interior of the offensive line, getting a lot of pressure up the middle and impacting plays on a regular basis. Justin Williams, freshman linebacker from Texas, all over the field. Chris Cole. Chris Cole made some plays that an NFL scout would drool over.
Yes.
He was flying everywhere. Nice outside moves to get to the quarterback, pushing the pocket. He had a tipped. The way Michael Williams tipped the ball at the line of scrimmage and intercepted it, Chris Cole almost had the exact same play. I mean, we have athletes everywhere, but Michael and CJ Allen, they look like the best players on our defense right now, outside of Malachi Starks. CJ Allen is everywhere he's supposed to be. He dissects the play, gets to the ball, makes the play, and Michael Williams standing up and being that jack linebacker is about to wreak havoc on the SEC. I think that move has unlocked our defense because he just made play after play. He is a solid 6'5", 265. He tossed Roderick Robinson down like he was a rag doll. And Roderick Robinson is probably the biggest SEC running back that there is right now. Like, not Derrick Henry, but, you know, getting close to that. I mean, just absolute monsters on the defense. So impressed. Well coached. I'm so excited for this year. If the players can keep this up and get better in fall camp, we finna be a problem. A problem, Keegan.
I'm with it, man. We really are a very talented roster on the defensive side. So, believe it or not, that our new transfer who got credited with the two sacks, since you can't technically really sack anyone, his addition is going to be amazing later in the season. That could really pay dividends. Xavier, so this is for all the people listening. Believe it or not, it is MCLEOD, but for the record, I spelled it phonetically just so I'd remember how to say it, but it's pronounced McLeod, okay? It's Xavier McLeod.
So I butchered that, but I appreciate the
But I mean, when you see EOD, when does that ever make the owl sound? So this isn't an English lesson, but I mean, that's a tricky one, but that's a name I'm very familiar with in my life. So I just happen to know that one. So I'm going to help everyone out.
I appreciate the clarity on that.
For when the announcers are saying it wrong, you can say, actually, guys,
we got to get it right for the season.
McLeod. Yeah. We want to start practicing now on who's going to be balling out. But man, great, great defensive effort. Really made it highly competitive in all the areas that we would want to have concern. We were being optimistic leading into this, saying, okay, well, we do have question marks on the secondary, but there are a lot of guys that could step in, you know, a lot of talent. And then with the addition of Jake Pope, maybe this would look nice. That came to fruition. You know, we talked about Xavier McLeod coming through, what he would bring. That came to fruition. We talked about needing Michael Williams to step up and show that big playmaking ability that we know he's capable of. That came to fruition. So all things considered, you know, jury's not out on the season yet. It's too early to tell on that. Clemson is going to be a big game, but these guys look very, very, very in tune with where they're at. And that wasn't really the case last spring game.
No, I did not feel that way last spring game.
No, it did not at all. And if you remember, it was a little bit of a, you know, a different vibe because we, on those back-to-back national championship seasons, those spring games felt kind of like this one. So, you know, for what it's worth, I do think spring games matter in that sense. And if you don't have your act together yet, this is kind of, you know, part two of the Mike Bobo experience. He was able to do really good things, but they kind of got their groove later in the season. Having the continuity, all the dudes coming back, and like we already mentioned, how well this coaching staff really prepares these guys. Got to feel good about this spring game. Ended in a tie, so
yeah
man, I'm happy that it happened. I'm happy that we're where we're at, and
you know what?
Yeah,
it was. I'm expecting a lot of. It felt like Bobo's kind of opened up the playbook a little bit, that they're going to lean on Carson as good as our running game and weapons are. They're allowing him to be the quarterback that he's going to be. I thought that him and Gunnar Stockton got a bunch of reps. We wondered, could Carson Beck get better with that deep ball? And he still struggled outside of that one catch from Dominic Lovett. So I
Yeah.
think it was good for him to see. I was watching some film breakdown. Film Guy Network is really good YouTube if you love grinding the tape. And he made a comment, and I think it fits perfect for Carson Beck. Carson's got all these tools and all this hype, but the throws that he's missing consistently, a Heisman winner is going to make those throws. Those home runs, those big chunk yards, 20, 30, 40, and he's just off of it right now. So I hope he goes to work before fall camp, because if he can hit 60, 70, 75% of those deep balls with the weapons that we have, we're not going to get beat, and we have a hard schedule. Those teams are going to really struggle to put up points and to keep up with us if Carson can hit those shots. So remember this comment, because I think that is going to be the one of the bigger differences in our season is, can Carson be accurate and complete these deeper passes down the field the same way Aaron Murray did? Aaron Murray had a great deep ball, and Carson has all the ability, but he's got to start connecting on that. But I love the reps. I thought we really did a good job. And I'll go ahead and say this now on the podcast, and I believe this. Obviously, we had the number one recruiting class coming in, but I think this roster from top to bottom is the best in college football. After that one spring game, I kid you not, the talent, not even just the size, which Kirby has made a point to recruit, but the talent at each level on both sides is outstanding. The two deep at each level on both sides is outstanding. The freshmens on both sides at all levels are so talented, it is unreal. And one thing I know about Kirby, if he's got talent, you're in trouble, because he's a great teacher, and all the coaches that he employs, that he brings onto his staff, are teachers of the game, leaders of men. They help to push growth, and that's what I expect to see from now all the way to the beginning of fall camp, all the way to Atlanta for the opener against Clemson. So as of right now, stock is up on UGA. If it wasn't high enough already, it went up some more. Completely just impressed with the entire G-Day. I haven't been that excited about a G-Day in quite some time. Just
Yeah.
I don't got enough words. This team is going to be very good if things continue on this trajectory.
And speaking of trajectories with that number one recruiting class, I think something that's so cool about what Kirby's able to do is that now that he's in what, year seven, eight, I don't know where we're at, I guess. But either way, he's been able to get closer and closer to the guys he's trying to get, like on an athletic basis, you know, what he's looking for. Like he's getting a more and more accurate vision of the type of dudes he's looking for in that sense, physically. But what I think is also an equally impressive is how he seems to be getting, better and better personalities to pair with those athletic traits that really makes a team have outstanding unity. And just getting these guys with outstanding buy-in. Like, there's a lot of elite recruits and a lot of dudes that just have, off the charts talent. But to be able to find the guys that are going to make your locker room instantly better, also, not just the stat sheet potentially, I think that is a huge win. And the competitive nature and just the early, vibe and buy-in and everything we've heard of this freshman class is just, out of this world. So. So to conclude, a great spring game, a great G day, and yeah, things are looking up. But dude, that's not all that's popping off in the sports world. I know we kind of like talked on everything
Oh,
last
yeah, we got a
episode.
few things going on
Yeah.
outside of the world of football. And we'll start with the Braves on this one. The Braves, since we last were with you guys, they won the Miami series two games out of three. And they completed last night the first game at Houston. Game two is today. The Braves are 10-5 right now. And early in the season, they are still the NL East leaders. But the most pressing and probably the most exciting of the offseason stuff right now, post Masters, is the NBA play-in, the precursor to the playoffs. So what we got going on in the West tonight, the West teams play. the eighth seeded Lakers taking on the seventh seeded Pels in New Orleans for the seventh seed to face the number two Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. The loser of that game will take on the winner of the 9-10 Warriors at the Kings. Loser goes home. Winner plays for the last spot, the eighth spot. And what I'm looking at there for the West, Keegan, and I want to get your opinion. I got the Lakers taking the Pelicans. They just beat them in the season finale by about 20 to 30 points. And I think they need to get the monkey off their back and take on Denver in the first round and leaving the Pelicans to take on the Warriors, who beat the Kings, who have lost Kevin Herter, who used to play for the Hawks, and Malik Monk. Two of their really good players are out, so I see the Warriors taking that and getting the eighth seed to take on the OKC Thunder. What do you got for the West play-in?
Yeah, I like that prediction with Golden State, and I kind of agree with you. It's kind of ironic coincidence that the Pelicans and the Lakers would end the season right before this play-in game. I do think it'll be a lot closer than that ass-whooping we saw.
Definitely.
But LeBron James, he had a season-high 17 assists in that game. And
he's healthy. And he's healthy.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest thing, is we know LeBron can take over, and we know he can control the stat sheet, but unless it's happening naturally, you don't necessarily want that with where he's at in his career. You don't want to have him force the issue, because then he's got to play hero ball, and that's kind of what has kept him back the last few seasons. But he's got a great squad. They're really trending. I know you've seen them just have a lot more trust in their communication, their ball flow, and with the 17 assists, expect to see that be a template for LeBron James and company to go deep in this playoff run if they're going to, because I think that's a key thing. You know, he'll have his games where he'll take over. I don't doubt it. Even at this prime ripe age, he's going to do it, especially with how he's shooting the ball. That's really incredible, adding that skill set, getting better, you know, just his overall percentage. So he's still deadly with what he can do. But, dude, the assist game is going to be huge for that. And then flipping it to the East, I can kind of pop it off with what the Hawks are bringing. I know they're playing the Bulls. I really like how, you know, the Hawks overall match up pretty well against the, you know, I'd say the strength of Chicago with their backcourt, Caruso, LaVine, DeRozan, or however you say his last name.
Yeah, DeRozan.
DeRozan. And... you know, they match up pretty favorably, you know, considering that's the strength. And I really think they have a outright advantage when it comes to the big fellas and who they have in the front court. So I like the Hawks doing what they're doing there. And do you have thoughts on that game? And I don't really know who else is playing in the East.
Yeah, I do. So it is the Heat and the 76ers in the 7-8, and then the Hawks and the Bulls at the 9-10. So yes. I wrote this down, and I'm going to go ahead and give the Hawks, because I think they have some new energy with Trey back. I'm going to go ahead and give them the win over the Bulls and send the Bulls home early. Now, for the other play-in game, I'm going to take the 76ers winning in a close game. If Joel Embiid's back, I haven't checked on that, but if he's back, I have them beating the Heat. And then ultimately, I've got, whether it's the Heat lose or the 76ers lose, I have them beating the Hawks. So I've got 76ers taking on the Knicks, 2-7 seed. And then the Heat, just a great coach, well-balanced team. They haven't been great this regular season, but when the playoffs come, those two teams are proven. They know what they're doing. And I think talent-wise, they're a step ahead of both the Bulls and the Hawks. So I'm going to go ahead and put the Heat and the 76ers in whatever order you want to. But I got those two rounding out the playoffs for the East. But we'll see. Crazier things have happened. It's single elimination. So, well, single elimination for the 9-10, double for the 7-8. So, really excited to get this started. Love the NBA playoffs. Hoping to see some upsets, some fireworks, and crown a champion by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I do think the play-in just adds another level of intrigue and interest. And it's one of the few changes I kind of liked. It's kind of You don't really know how it's going to go. I've seen the circulating clips of like LeBron 2 years ago saying, whoever made the play, it needs to be fired. But at the same time, it makes it a lot more interesting, keeps fan bases in the game.
It's been great for the game.
And yeah, so I like with what it's doing, and I'm excited for it too. So we'll keep y'all posted on the good NBA developments, all things, sports topical that we want to touch on, kind of keep y'all in the loop, just keep the fodder going. And man, Georgia football as good as ever. Kirby really coming into form, and that G Day was a thing of beauty. So
Great G
we're
Day.
gonna, yes, sir.
And we're gonna be at this weird spot now that G Day is done. The people are finishing up, especially the college kids getting ready to take finals and graduate here soon. So there's after this portal ends, we may come back on and update you guys on what changes have made, especially prominent ones, contributors leaving, contributors coming. But it's gonna slow down a little bit, obviously, until fall. But we'll try to hop into here and keep everybody up to date on things going on. But Keegan, I always appreciate you. Looking forward to this fall. This team just excited me. Hopefully we can stay out of any legal trouble and stuff during the off season and get ready for what looks like a great 2024. Couldn't be more excited, Keegs.
Hey, it's gonna be a good one. And maybe this will be that third championship. So
We
let's
got
get it.
the talent to do it. We got the pieces to do it. So now it's just about taking on that schedule 1 week at a time and getting it done. But that started in the spring, continues in the fall, and that's how these teams are built. And I trust Kirby more than anybody to get a football team ready for the fall. So, as always, guys, make sure that you check us out wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Like and subscribe and share with your dog friends. Keegan, I appreciate you, Dog Nation. As always, it's been a blast. And as always, guys, you know what it is.
Of Lee.
Off the leash.